Hello and good afternoon and welcome to The Ace on Forward Observer. I'm your host, Sam Culper, and I'm coming to you live from Forward Observer Central Command here in Austin, Texas. It is the 12th Tuesday, the 12th of March, and I have not done this live for quite a while, but I'm glad to be doing this full-length podcast this week. Well, there's a lot of stuff that I have to cover, way too much for me to cover in this short podcast. So I'm going to focus on two things today. The first is the difference between predictions and intelligence analysis. And the second, I'm just going to talk briefly about a really great article that I read, and I'll add some of my thoughts about where we are in society as well. If you are listening to this via YouTube, because we are putting this podcast up on YouTube for people to listen to, do me a favor. If you're listening to this via iTunes or Spotify or iHeartRadio or some podcast RSS feeder, also please do me this favor. I'm starting to record videos now on YouTube on our Forward Observer TV channel. I'm going to put a link in the show notes for everybody. And if you don't mind, scooch on over to YouTube if you already have an account and go ahead and subscribe to Forward Observer TV. We have over 1,000 subscribers. And I suspect that as I do more videos, we're going to grow very quickly. And I want to do this because I want to reach more people with the message of intelligence and just this incredible utility and value that intelligence gathering and intelligence analysis brings. Far too often in this, you know, preparedness and survival and even kind of patriot community, the focus is on beans, bullets, and Band-Aids. And that stuff is super important. I'm not here to say that it's not. However, I would also add that if you cannot gather real-time information about your situation, that you are going to be flying blind and you're going to be making decisions with bad information or not enough good information, and that's going to negatively affect your decision-making, and that's going to potentially lead to, actually, it's way more likely to lead to mission failure. And so we need intelligence. We have to have intelligence. And a lot of this stuff is not complex once we know how to do it. And so if you think that when I talk about intelligence and teach this stuff, if you think it's valuable, go ahead and sign up. Just subscribe to our YouTube channel, Forward Observer TV. We're also going to be putting that up in a couple of other places. And then tell your friends about it as well. Next, on April the 6th and 7th, Charlie Hogwood and I will be hosting an area intelligence workshop where we're going to lead students through the process of building an area study. I'm still working on course details, but it's going to be in the Atlanta, Georgia area, probably north of Atlanta, one of the suburbs up there. If you'd like more information, you can go to forwardobserver.com/events, and you can see our upcoming courses. I'll be adding a lot of courses this year because I'll be hitting the road. And also on that page, forwardobserver.com/events, you're going to be able to sign up for occasional updates from me whenever we add the next batch of courses. Also, at the end of April, I believe we're going to have Kay from Combat Studies Group come down to Austin for his ground rod courses. He taught ground rod one, oh gosh, a year or two ago, and probably a year ago, and he really needs to come back and finish up and teach the rest of his stuff. And then also, I'll be hitting the road this spring and summer to teach some more SHTF intelligence courses. Again, you can go to forwardobserver.com/events, where you can find a sign-up form if you'd like to be emailed our course schedule for 2019 as we add dates. And of course, get in touch with me if you'd like to schedule one of my courses for your area. Now, moving on, I just saw this clip. I just watched it. It's actually a couple weeks old, of David Stockman. He was a Reagan era budget. I don't know. He worked in the Reagan administration doing some budget thing. And he's been pretty, you know, I've divided financial and economic analysts into conventional analysis and alternative analysis. And he's definitely in the alternative. Oh, the budget director. That's probably what he was. And so I've put Stockman very firmly, obviously, into the alternative financial wisdom crowd or alternative analysis crowd. And he was just on Fox Business a couple weeks ago, again, calling for this financial doomsday scenario. And I've seen him say this no fewer than at least six times in the past few years. He did this big video a year or two ago, and he said, in 4 days, the market's going to crash. And he recorded that entire video on it. I don't know, it's probably 10 or 15 minutes long, but all the reasons why the market was going to crash in 4 days. And, you know, a week later, it mysteriously disappeared. Next week or next month or next year, financial doomsday. And he's been saying this stuff for years. And I just ask, how many times, or how can someone so frequently be so substantially wrong about one specific thing, which is a stock market crash, and still be invited to opine on these financial news shows? Probably because predictions get headlines, and there's actually a really great book on that by Philip Tetlock. I'm not saying that the market will never crash. It obviously is going to crash at some point in time. That's what markets do when investors become exuberant. It could crash tomorrow for all I know, but I don't know. And David Stockman doesn't know, and you don't know, and no one knows, except for maybe the guys who are going to trigger the next market crash. And maybe eventually Stockman is going to be right, but I would not bet on it. But the problem is that he continues to go around every 3 or 6 months calling for another stock market crash, scaring a lot of people in the process, and it's just futile, absolutely futile to listen to this man. A week or two ago, I was talking, not on the show, but to some other people, I was talking about the Paul Krugman heuristic. A heuristic is a mental shortcut. It's a shortcut for thinking our Paleolithic ancestors saw a shadow or something that might threaten them or that might kill them, and they ran away. And they didn't take time to investigate. They knew that the chances were really good that whatever they saw or whatever they think they saw could kill them, and so they ran away. And they survived. And that's why we're all here today. Because human beings developed heuristic thinking to err on the side of caution. Well, that's a really bad way to do business in intelligence. Heuristic thinking, unless we are very deliberate about how we are applying that heuristic, often leads us into wrong conclusions. And we see this kind of heuristic thinking a lot in the preparedness community. And one heuristic is there's a bunch of bad economic data, therefore financial collapse is imminent, or therefore we are days, weeks, months, years away from total financial collapse. Now, let me bring this around to Krugman and Stockman here for full circle. The Krugman heuristic says that if Paul Krugman says something is good, then it's probably bad. And if Paul Krugman says something that's bad, then it's probably good. So when I saw David Stockman on Fox Business, he was warning about this impending collapse. He says, it's here. And Neil Cavuto actually pushes back and he says, well, you've been warning about this for a while. And Stockman kind of stutters because Stockman knows, David Stockman knows he's been predicting this on specific dates for a long time, for years, in fact. And Stockman doesn't have a good answer because Cavuto is very plainly correct. Stockman has built a portfolio of really bad predictions about an imminent collapse. And he's been warning about this for every few months for several years now. And Stockman has been wrong every time he's predicted this, because I honestly think that he assumes too much. He's using his own form or his own type of heuristic thinking, which is obviously leading him to some very poor conclusions. And frankly, we in the prepper community, we assume quite a bit as well. We assume way too often that something bad is going to happen because there are reasons to believe something bad is going to happen. The national debt, the budget deficit, unfunded liabilities. Yeah, this is all super bad news. But I don't think it necessarily pretends, or I don't think it's reason enough to believe that some magnificent overnight economic collapse scenario is going to happen, because that's what many people think is going to happen. They're going to wake up one morning and things are just going to collapse into oblivion. And I don't think that's the case. But I still see these YouTube videos that have been a little more active watching YouTube videos lately from some of these prepper channels and survival channels. This is exactly what they're preaching, and they could not be more dead wrong. My personal judgment is quite a bit different. I don't expect an overnight collapse scenario. I think things are okay for now, so take a deep breath. There certainly could be some disruption in the future, but I don't think it's imminent. I think that disruption is way more likely to be social and political rather than economic and financial, but we could get there if things get bad enough socially or politically, i.e. if things get bad enough socially or politically to cause a recession or to cause some kind of financial collapse. And that's another thing, is that we kind of have been conditioned to associate a recession with a financial collapse, because sometimes those two things occur simultaneously, or those two things occur pretty close to each other. But we could absolutely, if this recession is in 2020 or 2021 or whatever, it doesn't matter. I actually think there's a chance that we maybe don't even have a recession for the next couple years. We don't have a recession through 2021. Now, a lot of things that can affect that, and that's not something that you can actually predict years in advance, but I do think that there's a chance that we actually could escape a recession. I'm not saying that we're going to, but there exists a potential that we don't have a recession. I also think there's a pretty good chance that we have a fairly mild recession, and that it's not some massive doomsday event like many people think it is. And for a while, I thought, okay, the next recession was going to be it, right? That was my assumption. The next recession is going to cause this massive thing. But as I've really started digging into this, I think we often make the mistake, people in this community especially, we often make the mistake because we don't recognize how robust the economy is. And we also don't recognize the amount of power and influence and money and profits that are riding on keeping this system afloat. And so I think we tend to gloss over that and just think, well, eventually this whole thing's going to collapse. And maybe eventually it will. I just don't think it's imminent, like many of these people are saying. I honestly don't think a collapse is going to happen in the next year or two. I mean, I'll say that with an asterisk, because we can't predict black swan events, neither can anyone else. But pending some black swan event, I actually think I really don't think a collapse is going to be imminent. Like I've been saying this for months now. I don't know, 6 months. My top concern really is the lead up until the 2020 election, and specifically the social and political instability and the potential for organized political violence, depending on what happens as a result of that election. At some point beyond that, we could get into a pretty bad economic scenario. But just how bad things actually get, really depends on the policies of future presidents and the future Fed chairman. And they could possibly keep this thing running indefinitely without some catastrophic meltdown that many people think is a foregone conclusion. Many people are literally betting the farm that this will happen. I'm just saying, consider the alternative that this does not happen, because I think there's actually a decent chance that that does not happen. By the way, I'm sitting at this desk every morning at 5:30 to begin, 5:30 Central Time, to begin writing my early warning report, which goes out in the morning. It takes me roughly 2 hours to comb through the day's information and to collect my thoughts and beginning putting it into an actual report format. I'm looking at the latest economic indicators. I'm looking at what's happening around the globe. And through research and information gathering, for roughly 2 hours a morning, 5 days a week, specifically hitting pretty hard the social fault lines and the economic and financial fault lines, I've been able to build a pretty clear picture of where we are socially and economically as well. And let me say this real quick too, because people fundamentally misunderstand this. I see this every so often where people say that, well, there's no way to predict the future. There's no way to tell what's going to happen in the future. And so by extension, they would say that intelligence analysis cannot predict the future. And that entirely misses the point. When someone says that intelligence analysis can't predict the future, So there's no reason to do it. They're sadly mistaken about one major point. And that is that the purpose of intelligence is not to predict the future. The purpose of intelligence is to reduce uncertainty about the future. You say, well, Sam, you're just splitting hairs. No, I'm not. I cannot predict what will happen in the future, and I will not try. I don't make predictions. You should not really listen to other people who make predictions because they do not know. Instead, what I try to do is use structured analysis to lay out all the potential options that could happen in the future, potentially happen in the future, and look for evidence every single morning. Look for evidence that either supports or contradicts those options or those potential scenarios. These pieces of information are called indicators. And so what I'm doing is looking for indicators that would say this event now is more likely or this event now is less likely because of actual data and evidence. Then I can start listing out these potential future scenarios in order of likelihood. So intelligence analysis allows us to anticipate future events and refine our expectations of the future so that we can have more accurate expectations of the future rather than inaccurate expectations. And that's where a lot of people get things wrong. And you want to talk about having an advantage in an SHTF scenario. You want to talk about having an advantage in SHTF preparedness. Being able to anticipate what's likely to happen is an incredibly undervalued advantage, to the point that I think it's incredibly sad every time I get an email from some prepper blog or prepper website telling me to buy the latest gizmo or device because it's the prepper's number one survival tool. The prepper's number one survival tool is his brain, not some $15 piece of Chinese-made crap that's going to break when you need it the most. So the point of all this is that intelligence analysis is an incredibly valuable skill. There used to be this big debate. I guess maybe in some parts of the internet this debate is still going. But, you know, if at a certain point in the future we actually have to use arms, we actually have to use force in defense of our liberty, we're going to have a whole bunch of old people that say, well, I'm not a gunslinger. I can't go run around in the woods, and I can't do X, Y, or Z like I could when I was 25 years old. And they say, well, what do I do? And, you know, of course, well, logistics, right? That's super important. But I would say intelligence, man, get on intelligence. And if you're 45, you know, if you're 40, 50, 60, whatever, and you're getting on up there and you're realizing like, hey, in an SHTF scenario, I'm not going to be ground pounding the neighborhood, then the best thing you can learn is how to do signals intelligence, how to run a human intelligence network, or how to data mine the internet for information of intelligence value, how to understand, or how to run an ACE. I mean, these are all just, they're not super complex, but they are incredibly, incredibly undervalued skills for SHTF preparedness. And that's really what I've dedicated. I mean, this is my full-time job. That's exactly what I've dedicated my life to, is A, teaching as many people this kind of mindset and these types of skills as I can, number one. And number two, using my brain to look at data and evidence and try to allay some fear from these people who believe that around every corner is going to be some catastrophic economic collapse. By the way, I'm always amazed. I don't know. What was it, 3 months ago, maybe? I listened to a podcast where Eric Holder started talking about abolishing the Electoral College. And I put it in my National Intelligence Bulletin. And 3 months later, just, you know, a week or two ago, someone, you know, he talked about it. I forget. Oh, he was giving a speech at Yale. And someone asked Eric Holder, former Attorney General Eric Holder, if they should abolish the Electoral College. And he said, yeah, I think we should. And then it made this huge news thing. And it's like, is no one listening to these leftist podcasts where these people get on there and tell you exactly what they think? Because that's how I mean, half of my National Intelligence Bulletin is stuff I hear on left-wing podcasts that, you know, that no one is talking about at that time. And then 3 months later, it makes the mainstream news. So I would also say this, if you want to go to forwardobserver.com/subscribe and subscribe to my National Intelligence Bulletin, and you'll get that every Friday, then you're going to have a heads up on what's going to be coming down the pike, especially in terms of political and social instability. Things are kind of in a lull right now because both sides are kind of preparing and planning what they're going to do for this election. But hey, once this election season really heats up in earnest, if we see a replay of 2016, I actually think it could be, I mean, it potentially could be much worse. I don't know right now because I can't predict the future, but I can say that that's a possibility that socially things are, culturally, things are going to be much more toxic and potentially way more violent than what happened in 2016, potentially. So if you want to get, if you want to wrap your head around that right now, then I would highly suggest that you subscribe to our intelligence service, because I spend a majority of my week listening to these left-wing podcasts and reading these left-wing blogs, getting a sense of what they're trying to do, and then fitting that into a framework of where we are as a society, and what types of triggers or what types of events could cause these second and third order effects where we see violence. But I digress. So just in conclusion of all this stuff, my first point is that we really shouldn't be taking tips on the future from David Stockman, nor any other doom and gloomer on the internet who are out there predicting collapse every chance they get, because they're going to be wrong. And in the event that they're right, then they're not, it's not going to matter if they're right or wrong. For me, it's enough just to know that things could collapse. Yeah, things could get ugly, quick, fast, and in a hurry. They absolutely could, and there's no denying it. A cyber attack, you know, something on that order of magnitude that just shuts down a region. And also, let me say on this cyber attack thing, it's way more likely that a cyber attack shuts down a city or a region of the United States as opposed to the entire United States. But I think psychologically, there are going to be massive effects from that. And so you get to a certain point where even if some foreign hackers can shut down a city or a region for a period of time, you're still going to have this massive psychological shockwave that runs across the country. Just like 9/11 caused tons of lost economic growth, something like that, some digital or not digital, but some kind of cyber 9/11 could also kind of cause that as well. So for me, it really is just enough to know, okay, I know this is one possibility, but there's no predicting it, certainly not months or years in advance. So I don't even listen to people who are predicting this stuff months or years in advance, much less days in advance. The best thing that I can do as an intelligence analyst is to recognize that a split-second, instant collapse-causing event could occur, and I should prepare for the follow-on, these second and third and fourth and fifth order effects that are going to occur locally. I think that what's more likely, however, is that we maintain our current trend of things getting progressively worse because we already live in a society in collapse. Which leads me to this next segment. As I read this really great piece over at City Journal, which I believe is published by the Manhattan Institute, and it's entitled "No Need for Thanks," and it's subtitled "America Rescued Ilhan Omar and Her Family, but to hear her tell it, we are the ones who should be grateful." And I will also include a link in the show notes as well. It's by Seth Baron, and I'm going to put a link in the show notes because I think you should read it. Seth Baron writes, "Interviewed on the popular Pod Save America podcast, Omar, who is a representative in Congress, Omar explained that when her family was preparing for resettlement in America, they watched orientation videos, quote, about the life that they are to expect once they arrive here. Happy families and dinner tables where there is an abundance of food, images of happy young children running off their school buses, images of a country where people are happy and leading a life that is prosperous. You are really looking forward to life as you see it on that screen," end quote. That's what Omar is saying of these videos that she and her family viewed prior to coming to the United States. Seth Baron continues writing, Life in America was not like the images she saw in the welcome video. Omar insists. When we landed, she recalls, I saw panhandlers on the side of the streets. There being trash everywhere and graffiti on the side of the walls. Omar asked her father why America fell so short of what she had been promised, and he told her to hold on. We will get to our America. Omar has still not arrived in the America she was promised, though she has now been elected to Congress. We continue to disappoint her, Seth Barron writes. It's a really, really great article. The reason that our society is already in collapse is because we cannot even agree on what American is. We have two vastly different and competing visions for the United States. I should also say, when she got to the city, yeah, you're going to see homeless people and graffiti because that's what happens in cities. That's not what happens on Main Street America, at least not typically. We've always had these competing sides, but I actually think this time it could be different because so many on the left are pushing so hard towards the far left. And I don't think that this will be the election cycle that we swing hard left. As a matter of fact, I'm going to laugh my ass off once I'm going to put this in the National Intelligence Bulletin, by the way, but I was just listening to this left-wing podcast and where one of the members of the Democratic Socialists of America is warning her compatriots, oh, be prepared for when, you know, if he's nominated to be the Democratic nominee, then get ready for him to swing right to basically portray himself as more moderate or centrist so that he does not get crushed by Trump in the election. And so I'm going to laugh my ass off once Bernie Sanders swings towards the middle on all these things all of a sudden, just to get elected, basically on false pretenses. But that's politics in the United States. Our society is in collapse already because half of America believes that our founders and their ideals are evil. They do not believe in the supremacy of the individual. They believe in the supremacy of the collective group. And as long as that stays the case, I mean, frankly, I've said this before, but if the leftists want to blame the alt-right and the white identity movement on anything, they should blame themselves for stressing race as more important than nationality in the first place. Our society is in collapse because somewhere around one-third to one-half of us believe that government's sole purpose is to take care of its citizens from cradle to grave and to provide this universal and fundamental human right, like healthcare and the freedom from want. And our society is in collapse because we've lost the one thing that used to unite us, which is the desire for freedom and liberty and individualism. We've lost our freedom and liberty incrementally in this country since this country's founding. And I say country, not nation, because we are no longer a nation. We're a country made up of numerous nations, all of which are competing against each other, and that's why I'm pretty pessimistic about social cohesion going into some kind of turbulent economic scenario that, like we had in 2008. And yes, that is an assumption. In fact, it's my key assumption that as things get worse financially and economically in the United States, that things will also get tougher and uglier socially and politically. I feel safe in making that assumption because we're already seeing this occur in this quote-unquote low-intensity conflict that's bubbling up in our country right now. And I'm concerned that the next election could make things much, much worse. And if you want to talk about the value of intelligence analysis applied to SHTF preparedness, then we really have to start with what Democrats are planning once they return to power. We start with what the Democrats want to have happen, and then we end with how the next election and those policies are going to affect you locally. In closing, if you are not jumping down this local rabbit hole, then you are missing a major opportunity to increase your level of preparedness. If you are not doing an area study, if you're not jumping into the people and the places and the things that are going to affect you during an SHTF scenario, then you are missing a major opportunity to do this now. And I say now, and I think we should treat the area study as if we are going to wake up next week or next month and the lights aren't on and we have no cell service on our phone and we, you know, basically your traditional, you know, prepper doomsday scenario. I think we should. I think we should be that serious about doing an area study and thinking through the second and third order effects of, okay, we have this national level event and it trickles down. It causes this, it causes this, it causes this until it causes this threat on my front door or in my neighborhood. And if we can do an area study, and by the way, I'll put this other link in the show notes. I've got like a 4-day email series on doing an area study. I'll put that link in there. You can sign up for it. But if we treat an area study like that and we really get down into the weeds and look at all the things that are going to affect us, then we are going to have a much better picture of what could go wrong in our community. And then that's going to allow us to better prepare for it. Being able to reduce uncertainty about the future means that we are going to be able to prioritize our resources and prioritize our preparedness for these events that we know are likely or going to happen. So I hope to see everyone at an upcoming course while that music comes in fast. I'll be back next week. Until then, stay out front.